So before we get into the episode, a word from our sponsors. Hello everyone. Today we're talking about Outlander episode 8, called Both Sides Now. A couple of things I want to bring up in the last episode of Outlander that we discussed. The pearl symbolism. I don't know if I got what I was trying to say across clearly. But she felt scattered at the beginning, and then by the end of that, on that last lovemaking scene, Jamie giving her the pearls fully intact was a way of showing Jamie being her calm and being something holding her together. Jamie did put this wedding together for both of them too, by the way. He said to Murdaugh, only planned to get married the one time, so it was for him too, you know, the wedding. So, you know, yes, it was really sweet what he did, but I think, you know, I implied that I thought that he had done it all for Claire. He did it for himself too, you know. This was for both of them. So anyway, so that's all the notes that I had written for the previous episode. So let's get into this episode that we're covering tonight. The synopsis says, Jamie has a rendezvous with a man named Horrocks, a British deserter who may be able to prove him innocent of the charges hanging over him. He may also be riding into a trap. Now married for 2 days, Claire gets a lesson in how to use a knife to protect herself. It comes in handy when they're set upon by two British deserters, and she is attacked. Her happiness is shattered, and she is angry with herself for not returning to Craignadoon. Her attention is diverted when she is taken prisoner again by Blackjack Randall, meaning while Frank is increasingly frustrated by the lack of progress the police are having in locating Claire, he realizes that he may have to get on with his life. Mrs. Graham, the housekeeper, tells him about the stones. So, yeah, so this episode, it starts out with Frank, at the police station, and, the police officer coming in there, the police captain, I think he was, coming in there, and he was gonna tell Frank, that they're gonna stop looking for Claire because they believe, she has gone off with the guy that, Frank saw. Looking outside her window that night, the Highlander. And of course, you know, I didn't talk about this in the first episode, and this is, I've noticed in various, Facebook groups that I'm in and stuff, that this is like, people ask this question all the time. Who was the guy standing outside Claire's window that night in the first episode, and blah, 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 and all this? It's Jamie. Diana Gabaldon has confirmed this, that it is, in fact, Jamie. She has not explained what he's doing there or how he is there. I'm pretty sure it's his ghost. But, anyway, so, you know, I want to clear that up right now, because that is a hot topic that everybody asks, and it's getting to the point of, you know, they ask it so much that it's like, if you can't tell by now, you know, then I don't know what to tell you. And it's also kind of getting annoying, you know, how many times this question is asked. I think it's even, I'm not sure, I'm not going to speak for anybody else, but, you know, being as someone who runs quite a few Outlander platforms and stuff, Facebook and stuff like that, yeah, it comes up so much. But anyways, it is Jamie. Diana Gabaldon has confirmed this, but we don't know how he's there or why he's there. We can only theorize. I'm pretty sure, you know, because when he sends her back through the stones the first time, I haven't read, let me put this out there. I have not read past the sixth book. I haven't even read past the fifth book. I'm at the beginning of the sixth book. So I don't know a whole lot in the future books. You know, I don't know past A Breath of Snow and Ashes. So I don't know what happens beyond that book, or really beyond The Fiery Cross. But what I do know, and I can't remember which book it is. If y'all know, please help me out. I know that Jamie dreamt about Brianna, you know, and he knew about her her birthmark behind her ear. So and he kisses her there. So I think Jamie has some kind of abilities, astral projecting abilities. I'm not sure. So, but that, you know, there's all kinds of theories out there regarding that ghost of Jamie outside her bedroom window, looking up at her. So, but anyway, back to this episode. Frank is in the police station, and you know, the police chief is there, or the police captain is there, telling him that they're gonna stop looking for Claire because they believe she's gone off with this man that Frank saw outside her bedroom window. And Frank, you know, of course he's upset because, you know, he doesn't want them to stop looking for her. And but he goes home after that, and or not home, but goes back to the Reverend Wakefield's house after that. And it goes to the next scene of Jamie and Claire sitting and talking and having a connection. And this right here, Jamie is asking her if it's unusual to feel what they feel for each other. And of course, Claire's response is it's similar, but it is unusual. Like, she's never experienced this before. So yeah, they have a really close connection, her and Jamie. So I've always said this. I think Jamie was always better for Claire, because he loves her more. And I'm not saying that Frank doesn't love Claire, but he's kind of the differences between Jamie and Frank. I feel like Frank holds Claire back. I mean, it may just be the time, you know, the time differences. You know, back in the early 40s, or mid 40s, women weren't supposed to be strong and independent. Of course, in Jamie's time, they're not supposed to be really strong and independent either, but she may have a little bit more freedom with Jamie. He allows her to be this way. He understands her better. So, but anyway, that's it is a little bit different. I mean, the time eras, but also, you know, in Jamie and Claire's time, you know, in the 1700s, women were actually owned by the men. And but, you know, there was a little bit more wildness between Jamie and Claire, so they had a little bit more freedoms, I think, to be themselves. And of course, in the 20th century with Frank, it was a little bit more domesticated, and you had to set this, you know, women had to be home, stay home, be housewives, do this, do that. So yeah, Claire was really, I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. She was trapped with Frank more than she was with Jamie. I guess she wasn't free spirit to be who she wanted to be with Frank as she was with Jamie. So that's the difference. And Jamie understands this, you know. He gets Claire. He gets her on a different level than Frank ever did, and so I think that's they're soulmates. So I think that's the difference between Frank and Jamie. Because I'm not saying anything wrong with Frank. I mean, he loved Claire, and Frank's story is kind of tragic. And I'm not gonna go too far into it because we're just covering both sides now this episode. But you know, he didn't do anything wrong. Essentially, she fell through the stones. We don't know how their marriage might have been had she stayed with Frank. But and this is just my theory. Had she not fallen through the stones and stayed with Frank, it probably would have been one of them falling into, settle marriages. And it wouldn't have been the spark that her and Jamie have. So, yeah, that's my theory. And I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But, you don't feel that connection between Frank and Claire that you do with Claire and Jamie. So, anyway, back to the episode. So Claire and Jamie are up on top of the hill and they see that arrow come up, and at first, Jamie protects Claire with his body, tells her to get down and stay. And but then they find out that it's this guy named Monroe, and he has a message for Jamie. But before he has news for Jamie, but before he can tell him, he wants to toast to Claire and Jamie's new marriage. And so they're sitting there, and he gives them a wedding present, the dragonfly and Amber, and it's really sweet and stuff. And he has the medals on his jacket, and Claire asks him what those are for, and of course we find out his tragic story about why he doesn't have a tongue, and how he had hot oil poured over his legs, but that's why he's a beggar now, because he was a slave. He was captured by the Turks, I believe is what Jamie calls him, and just because he was a Catholic Christian. And he was tortured that way, and that's really sad. But anyway, after that, they get to talking about Monroe's news to Jamie, and of course he tells him about Horrocks, knowing Jamie didn't kill somebody. For the reason Jamie is wanted, he can prove his innocence, because this guy's a witness. Saw what really happened. So, and Jamie even tells Claire that he's not sure he can trust him, but he's willing to risk it so that he can take his wife, his new wife, home to Lollybrook. Because he's real proud of being married with Claire, of course. So the next scene we see is Frank, and he's the Reverend Wakefield. They're trying to figure out where Claire might have, where she might be. The Reverend Wakefield's trying to keep his, keep him, his spirit tie, trying to help him find Claire. And this is the first time we get to see little Roger. And this little boy that played Roger was so adorable. And he's going to be an important character in the future. So this was our first introduction to Roger. So that was really cool. But anyway, Frank, he Mrs. Graham offers him some tea, and he, of course, says that he needs something a little stronger. And he goes out and goes to the bar or the local pub. And he runs into a woman here that claims that she knows where the Highlander is that's wanted for taking Claire. And she tells him to meet her out in the alley and to bring the ransom money, to meet her past 12 or something like that. And so, but then the next scene we see is we're back with Jamie and Claire's time. Rupert's telling a story about the water horse and everything. And the horses, they get spooked. And so they Rupert continues telling the story, but Jamie and all them, they know something's up because the horses are spooked there. And they tell Claire to go hide, and of course Jamie gives Claire his knife, and she goes and hides, and they fight the people that were trying to rob them and everything. And they got a few of them, but some of them got away, and they got away with a horse and some grain, I think. But it was real intense. But everybody, once everybody figures out that everybody's okay, the tension lifts, and of course, you know, everybody starts laughing, and they, you know, it's one of those moments where, you know, they're all, you know, serious, you know, because they have to defend themselves and stuff. But, you know, once everything's okay, they have to, what's the word I'm looking for? Y'all know what I'm saying. The tensions lift, and, you know, you just gotta help, you can't help but laugh in a moment like that. So, but anyway, and then, so the next scene we go to is, Frank in the alley, and he's, you know, these people tell him that they know where the Highlander is and everything like that. And come to find out, they were just trying to lure him into the alley to get the ransom money that he had, or, you know, that he was willing to pay to find Claire. And so he starts beating up on the guy, and he nearly kills him, and he nearly kills the girl that lured him to the alley. And right here, I feel like, you know, I know he is, you know, desperate to find Claire, and, you know, it's, you know, but I feel like he may have been a little bit of Black Jack Randall coming out of him, you know, just the savagery part of him coming out. But anyway, so, but, you know, in the next scene, you know, Father Wakefield is talking to him, and, you know, is talking to him about being good and evil, you know, and how we separate ourselves from that. And, you know, to give Frank credit right here, anybody would have been upset for what these people did to him. So, you know, I'm not saying that what he did was because Black Jack Randall was his ancestor. But what I'm saying, though, is that some of his savagery came out because, you know, he has it in him, maybe a little. But he was honestly upset for what these people did, lying to him about Claire. So, like I said, anybody would have been upset about that. But the Reverend Wakefield, he convinces him that he needs to leave Ivernest, and go back to Oxford, you know, and move on with his life, let Claire go. So he decides to do that. But the next scene we see is of Jamie and Claire looking for Jamie's knife, because Claire had lost it the night before, you know, when they were attacked. And they all agree that Claire probably needs to learn how to defend herself, learn how to use a knife. And so Angus gives her a little lesson in how to do that. And they even use Willie as their little victim, you know, to practice on. And Claire does pretty good. The next scene we see, we actually see Frank letting Claire go, and leaving her her suitcase there on the bed. And then it goes back to Jamie and Claire, and they're in that meadow there, and they're making love, you know, and they get snuck up on by Redcoat deserters, and of course they try to assault Claire. There's a lot of debate on this scene. It's been forever since I've read these books, and I think she did actually get assaulted in the books. And it certainly does look like it in the show that she was, sexually assaulted. But, anyways, Jamie can't do anything, you know, to help her because he's got a gun to his head. But, of course, Claire had, in the previous scene, learned how to use a knife, and she stabs this redcoat deserter in the back, and Jamie gets the better of the other guy, and they get away. And then it cuts back to Frank, and he's getting ready to leave, and Mrs. Graham, of course, wants to talk to him about what she knows about the stones. And of course, she tells him about them, and he doesn't believe her, and he leaves. And So we go back to Jamie and Claire, and Jamie is having a talk with Dougal about what just happened, explain to the other Highlanders what had just happened about the attack with Claire. And they say that these guys are redcoats, just like Horrocks is that Monroe had told Jamie about. And Murdaugh says that he gets why Jamie needs to go and see him, but he shouldn't be going alone. That he needs to be prepared, to defend himself, because what would become of a man like Horrocks, who deserts king and country? And also, while they're talking, meanwhile, up on the hill, Claire is pacing back and forth, because of what she's just gone through. And she's in her mind, she's recounting, all, her life has flashed before her eyes, but and she was wanting to scream out everything, that she was feeling, but she couldn't because, she was afraid that some of her secrets would start coming out. And so the next scene we see, of course, the next scene we see is Frank leaving Claire's suitcase on the bed. I got a little ahead of myself earlier, but anyway, but then we go back to Jamie and Claire, and they're in the forest, they're riding their horses, and they stop. And of course, Claire is upset, and she can't figure out why she's upset at this point, because she says in the voiceover, she's not even mad at Jamie. But she realizes that she's mad at herself. But anyway, Jamie tells her to stay put and he's gonna go talk with Horrocks, and he tells her to stay put, and she gets off the horse, and her and William are Willie are there, and he has to excuse himself, and she realizes where she's at. She is actually really close to the stones, and she starts running towards them, or she starts walking towards them, and she questions herself, who does she want to be? She started out as Claire Randall, and then Claire Beecham, and now she's Claire Frazier, and now which one does she want to be? And she starts running towards the stones, because I think, and this is my theory. I mean, I'm pretty sure a lot of people have their own out there, but I have a theory that she wasn't running to the stones to leave Jamie. She had just been assaulted, and she's in a dangerous time, and she was running to the stones, not necessarily to get back to Frank and not necessarily to leave Jamie, but to just get to a safer place. She was drove to get to safety, because at this point she's probably pretty scared. So she starts running towards the stones, and she's yelling, and this is really confusing to me. I'm not sure. I don't think Frank could hear her, but the show kind of implies that maybe he could. She's yelling for Frank to wait for her, and I think she can actually hear Frank though. Yelling for her, because he drove up to the stones in his time, and he's standing there yelling for her, and she's running up to him, and she's telling him to wait for her, and she starts running towards the stones, and then it cuts, and then the next thing we see, she's being carried off by redcoats. And so she gets in the wagon there, and she's being led to, of course, we know where she's being led to. She's being led to Blackjack Randall. And so the next scene we see, of course, Frank, he gives up and he leaves. And the next scene we see is her with Blackjack Randall. I think she's in the room with him, and she's talking to him, and he's questioning her who she is and everything. And he's actually telling her that she's not going to get away this time. He congratulates her about her marriage to Jamie, because at this point he doesn't know it's Jamie that she married. But on the way there, she has the upper hand, because she got to plan what she was going to do next time she met Blackjack Randall. And she came up with this idea that she would bring up Sandrinum, or the guy that's probably letting Blackjack Randall get away with half the stuff he does, and he wonders how she knows him and all this, and it gives him pause, But as she's getting ready to make her escape, of course, he brings up the Duchess of Sandringham, the Duke's wife and everything. And Claire acts like she knows her too. And of course, that's where Claire messes up, because the Duke of Sandringham actually does not have a wife. And so he, of course, you know, she tries to get out the door, and that poor officer out there. This is another thing too. I don't understand. I mean, yeah, we just talked about it. You know, Sandringham is letting him get away with things he does. But these guys that are around Black Jack Randall, and I guess, you know, he is the ranking officer, and it's the times they're in too. Part of me kind of wonders, how does he get away with half of the stuff he does? But anyway, I guess I've already answered that question. So, but anyway, he starts to, you know, assault Claire, and, you know, he undoes her laces in her front and rips her shirt open. It's awful. And then he tries to assault her, and then Jamie pops into the window and says, "I would like you to take your hands off my wife." So, that's the end of the episode, and that's, when this first came out, we had to wait, I don't even remember how many months we had to wait, but this was a hiatus wait. I think it wrapped up in, I think, March, and we had to wait till October, November, before it came back. So, that was a long wait, but anyway, yeah, that's the end of this episode. A few things that I did notice about this episode, and I want to point out right now. A lot of times, you know, I'll bring up the differences between Jamie and Frank. Well, this time, it's the same thing. And it's kind of a contrast between the last episode and this episode. Because in the last episode, you know, like I said in the beginning of this episode, actually, with the when we were discussing previous episode, Jamie giving Claire his mother's pearls and stuff, and that gave her some stability, you know, made her feel like she was safe with Jamie and stuff. And, you know, not that she doesn't feel safe with Frank, you know, but, you know, in this time era, she was feeling scattered and everything, and Jamie was making her feel safe, right? And, like I said, I don't remember when I said it earlier in the episode, but, you know, Frank was kind of dull for Claire. They weren't, you know, they were probably, if she wouldn't have fallen through the stones, it would have been, they would have been just settled marriage, you know? So, Jamie, in this episode, Jamie was still protective of Claire, and he was still good. He's still her soulmate. That's not different. But the difference is, in this episode, we actually see how much danger Claire is in this time era. You know, maybe her time era is more safer. You know, she needs to get back to her own time because it's safer. So yeah, that's an observation I made. The differences between Frank and Jamie. Frank at this point may be actually safer for Claire, but he's not better for Claire. So yeah, that's going to wrap up the discussion on this episode. Y'all stay tuned for trivia. So I got one piece of trivia that it says that the man on the poster with the 1,000 reward on the wall next to Claire's missing poster at the police station is in fact Jamie. And you know, remember like I talked about earlier, Diana Gabaldon did confirm that that was Jamie's ghost. And of course, you know, the sketch is from probably a description of what Frank gave the police, you know. So, yeah, that's the trivia I've got. Y'all stay tuned for news. So, I've got a couple of big news, pieces of news for y'all. Diana Gabaldon has finished her 9th book. She said she doesn't know when it'll be published, but it is, in fact, done. And she posted on Facebook what all the steps that it takes to get a book published of her size, of you know, of the sizes that the Outlander books are. It takes a lot, so I imagine that it's going to take a while, but she is done with the ninth book, Go Tell the Bees That I Am Gone. So congratulations to her. I'm really happy for her that that part of the leg of the journey is done. And, you know, hopefully soon we will have these books in our hand, or this book in our hand. And then another thing is that Ronald D. Moore is set to be showrunner for another set of series of books that are coming to film, called A Court of Thorns and Roses. Entertainment Weekly said, if you combine the epic romance of Outlander and the fantasy politics of Battlestar Galactica, you'd get something like Sarah J. Maas' best-selling A Court of Thorns and Roses series. It's fitting, then, that Outlander's Battlestar Galactica showrunner, Ron Moore, will be shepherding the beloved novels to the screen. So, I'm happy for both the author of the Outlander series, Diana Gabaldon, to be this close to having another book out, and I am really happy for Ronald D. Moore to have something else coming out after he gets finished with Outlander. I believe, and I'm not sure, but I think that season 6 is going to be his last season as showrunner for Outlander, but I wish him the best of luck to in the future of his career. So that's all the news I have. And I don't have any feedback tonight. So I guess that's going to wrap up this episode. The best places y'all can find me to leave me feedback is Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/talkingaboutfunthings. You can also email me at talkingaboutfunthings@yahoo.com. My Twitter handle is @talkingaboutfu1. And then I've recently made an Instagram, which is talkingaboutfunthings. So that's going to do it. And y'all keep having fun. With you. How am I supposed to record? Told you you weren't.
My laugh is contagious.
I told you you weren't gonna let me record while when I pushed. You were gonna start laughing as soon as I pushed play. Right? Is that what you're doing?